माधव कुन्याबिहारी Deyada Madhava Punya Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Kiri Varadhaji Gopijana Vallabha Kiri Varadhaji Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
Before starting, I would like to express my profound gratitude that I have received the opportunity to serve all of you with the Srimad Bhagavatam class as a preacher who is mostly in Western countries and not in the Holy Dham. I feel it is a great privilege and I will try my best. And I feel that what we deliver today from the Shastra for you might change your life. It is of profound importance and certainly has changed many devotees' perspectives who became aware of this subject. Translation. For those of you who have joined this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam by coming by not being able to come to the previous classes, but by joining here, this is Yudhishthira requesting, trying to find out what is wrong with Arjuna or a possible disturbing situation. And he asks now Arjuna with different questions. Actually, this is wrong. It's not there. Oh, Krishna, I made a mistake. Vidura asks whom, please? Uddhav, yes. Hare Krishna. Wait, I just read it. Please tell me, Vidura asked, whether Arjuna, whose bow bears the name Gandiva, and who is always famous amongst the chariot warriors for vanquishing his enemies, is doing well. He once satisfied Lord Shiva by covering him with arrows when Shiva came as an unidentified false hunter. Purport. Lord Shiva tested Arjuna's strength by picking a quarrel with him over a hunted boar. He confronted Arjuna in the false dress of a hunter, and Arjuna covered him with arrows until Lord Shiva was satisfied with Arjuna's fighting. He then offered Arjuna the Pashupati weapon and blessed him. Here Vidura inquires about the great warrior's well-being. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vidura here asks about Arjuna's well-being. We know that after Lord Krishna had left the planet, Arjuna was despondent. And not only that, Arjuna's tremendous fighting abilities, which are here hinted at, mysteriously disappeared from Arjuna, so that he could be overwhelmed by an unqualified and not at all equal enemy, some thieves. Strength in devotional life, and I would like to enter my subject from this door, strength in devotional life, or strength in life at all, comes when the heart is full with love. A heart which is empty and has no love has not strength. Such a heart will be overwhelmed very easily by the thieves of our life. Kama, lust, krodha, loba, and so on and so forth. But the heart which is strengthened by love, or let us speak of a devotional community, our own community, a heart which is strengthened by genuine felt bhakti is strong and cannot be occupied by the thieves of spiritual consciousness. Only a heart which is strengthened by bhakti opens the eyes for a spiritual perspective. This point is explained in the Brahma Sanghita, in the shloka Premanjana Bhakti Vilochanena, that Govinda can be perceived only by the eyes which are opened, which vision is opened By the medical application of the balm or cream of love. Those of you who have undergone Ayurvedic eye treatment do know what happens with some chapati dough. A ring is made around both eyes, and then a liquid is poured in this damped area. Damped, I mean, protected by a dam. And then you are requested to open your eyes so that the medical oil soaks the eyeball and the eye nerve. And it is, in the beginning, you see nothing. It's just very, very blurry when you look up. It looks as if you look into a glass, a tainted milk glass. But then when this oil is removed, you see a new world. It's really like this. New colors. Things appear in different perspectives. It's amazing, those of you who have the first letter of Yamaraj, that they become old and approach death, that is the eyeglasses or failing eyesight. Please try an Ayurvedic treatment just to understand the depths of this example from Brahma Samhita. First you don't see, but then you see everything new in new colors. This is happening when the heart is full of bhakti. Yeah. This bhakti will bring a totally new perspective to the life, to the devotional life. You will see your whole Krishna consciousness in an entirely different way. And you will be able, first of all, you will be willing and then able to do everything in your power to become a humble devotee who is tolerant of the disturbances which happen in the material world. You're willing to do everything to reach your spiritual goal. You are even willing to become humble, at least to try, and declare the insignificance of your false ego. This amounts to a severe war. So this bhakti is very, very, very important. Without the bhakti, you may stay in Krishna consciousness, perform sadhana, but it will not have any use. And I would like to now bring this point, which you have heard in 1008 lectures already before. I would like to look at this one point now from a perspective which will engladden your hearts and fill your heart certainly with bhakti. It is said that anyone who hears this story enters into what modern psychology calls therapeutic hearing, or what the bhakti scriptures describe as one gets a sukriti, a benefit, when one hears this. There was a time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not stop before the altar. There were many times, but I would tell you one time. No, he crossed the barrier and he went to the altar and sat down on the altar. He had appeared in the mood of a devotee, but there were times when he crossed the line and sat down on the altar and called. I will now focus our attention on one particular time. This time he called his devotees forward and showed him his divine opulence or his godly identity, his identity as being Bhagavan. He, for instance, called Murari Gupta, who was a Ram Bhakta, and said, "Murari, Murari, come!" And as Murari, you must know, first of all, the voice of Lord Chaitanya was extremely loud. It sounded like 1 million roaring lions when he was when he would use his voice in ecstatic ecstasy. What you, I have not at all spoken loud at this moment. Only by the divine Shakti of Lord Chaitanya, who protected the eardrums of his devotees, there was no accident which needed a repair, eardrum puncture or so. Murari! I mean, you must get some idea. Murari! Those who have been in lectures of Sachidananda Swami before know he can't tolerate sleeping devotees. This was a covered... I have a secret purpose here. Better you stay away, otherwise it will become really loud. This was nothing. So, come forward. Trembling Murari Gupta came. And then the Lord he didn't see any longer that golden effulgent Brahman. He saw Lord Ramachandra with his bow, and Lakshman and Sita, and dear Radhanath Maharaj always says, and he looked down and saw a tail on his body, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, "I'm Ram and you are Hanuman," remembering Murari Gupta of his previous identity. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called forth many, many devotees and showed them their worshipped Lord, showing them that he is that Lord. He has come. Only one devotee was not called, Mukunda. Srivas Pandit approached the Lord and said, "Your Mukunda is waiting outside the door. He cannot come. You have not called him." Lord Chaitanya then again raised his voice. It became very loud. But it is a loudness which no normal being can copy. Therefore, I will not speak in this. I try to imitate. This was only to wake you up. I will never see Mukunda again. This rascal says, "I have no form. I cannot eat." In this way, he beats me with sticks. Then he comes here in the devotional assembly and says, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." This duplicitous rascal who goes to these Yoga Vashishta seminars with this impersonal interpretation will never be seen again. Mukunda was at the door and heard the answer of the Lord and became so despondent that immediately he decided that his only option was suicide, drowning in the Ganga. This sinful body, he thought, is which is not accepted in Mahaprabhu's presence, has to be killed. It is of no use. But before, he asked Srivas, "Ask my Lord, when will I ever see him again in the future?" Srivas Pandit came to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu answered to this question, "After 10 million births." When Mukunda heard this, he was not like an ordinary person who joins the Hare Krishna movement and after 1 year he is not yet a Mahabhagavat and becomes disappointed and enters the market of possibilities or other possibilities. No, no. Listen to his response. I will see. I will see after 10 million, but I will see very good. And then this tremendous joy of anticipation filled his heart with a surge of ecstatic emotions, which soon blanked out his whole nervous system so that he collapsed in helpless ecstasy on the ground. Then Lord Chaitanya smiled. Bring him in immediately, he said. Mukunda could not walk in. He was carried in by the devotees. Then Lord Chaitanya asked him to offer prayers. And this really, what you have heard now, is only a prelude to our subject today. He spoke exactly about bhakti. And how only with bhakti or loving devotional service in the heart can a person see. He gave the example of Duryodhana. He said his entire family was stamped out. He was undergoing extreme pain. You know, his death was not a quick death. Because he lacked the slightest devotion to you. You know, when Lord Krishna had come to the court of the Pandavas, Hare Krishna, Maharaj, you give pleasure to our heart. when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm slightly irritated. When Krishna came to the court of the Kauravas, he declared, the Pandavas are my friends. Anyone who is an enemy to the Pandavas is an enemy to me. Then Duryodhana said, enough of this peace talk of Vasudev, who wants to convince us to not engage in sacred war. Enough of this. Men, capture him immediately. He will go into prison. It was much louder. The voice of Duryodhana, and much nastier. Maybe not, but please stay awake, in other words. At that time, Krishna, to show that the Kauravas had no chance if they would engage in war, manifested a partial manifestation of the universal form. Do you know what Duryodhana saw? He saw, but he could not see Krishna. He said, this is a magical trick like a cheap yogi can do. Get him, bind him. His people try to apply ropes. Where should we, which hand we should apply? Duryodhana saw, but because he had no bhakti, he did not see. Other examples have been given by Mukunda. I will go quickly. The kings who were there to attend the marriage ceremony of Rukmini also saw Krishna, who gracefully kidnapped Rukmini. Mukunda said, you went to rescue Rukmini from the overprotection of many powerful kings who saw you approach mounted on your bird carrier. Here we find the variegatedness of Krishna Leela. Sometimes he comes on Garuda. They saw your noble kingly bearing and effulgent form. Your devotees like Brahma meditate about this form and hope to catch a glimpse from one of the toenails of this form and the light thereof. But the kings declared war against you. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu saw you, but because they saw you without devotion, they engaged It's something as mad as animosity and war against you. Then he gives examples, Mukunda gives examples of simple people who had devotion for Krishna and who saw Krishna in a blissful, loving way. Kubja, the hunchback maidservant of Mathura, the wives of the sacrificial Brahmin priests of Vrindavan, the noble ladies of the Mathura palace, and the Mali, Mali means garland maker, Sudam. They saw you. What was their practice before they saw you for the first time? Nothing. Nishta. Nishta means Yugoslavian word, nothing. Yet all of them were elevated to the blissful state of loving devotional service to you. And he carries on. Then with another point, he says how bhakti gives tremendous strength to the heart, but also other strengths. By the strength of bhakti, every one of us could do impossible things. See what Prabhupada did by the strength of bhakti. Guru bhakti, Krishna bhakti. Huh? Impossible. Very, very tremendous things. And Mukunda's example is Ananta Shesha is in space without any support. Nothing holds him. But he supports every planet by the strength of bhakti. You know, Ananta Shesha glorifies the Lord. I am worse than an insect. Yet, I am not moved by such devotion. O Lord, how can I ask to see you? As Mukunda was saying this, he raised his arms in the air. Oops. He trembled and he cried. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responds. It's a longer response, but for our purpose, means to bring out one point, we will only go. He first of all was very satisfied with Mukunda. He said, I personally have made you speak the truth about bhakti. Nothing is of any value if it is devoid of my bhakti, my devotional service. And then he gives an example which is so hard, which is so surprising. I read it the first time in Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. This is a little advertisement. It's an email newsletter with nectar. Please take note of this. There a quotation appeared from Garga Samhita, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also picks up here. He talks about a person who has done for many births sadhana, apparently without bhakti, so that when Krishna, and who wanted to see Krishna, but when Krishna appeared before him, he didn't see him. He didn't feel the bliss of devotional service. He was against him. Do you know of whom Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks here? I think many of you will not be able to believe me if I don't read it word by word. It's so surprising. Demon King Kamsa's washerman, says Lord Chaitanya, also saw me. I asked him for help, but he refused. This was very unfortunate for him because he was deprived of the opportunity to render devotional service. He had no attraction for me. You know, when Krishna came in a playful mood, going through the streets of Mathura, he saw the washerman of Kamsa with the kingly dress, and in a sportive, playful mood, he went to the washerman, smiling his sweet encouraging smile. It said when Krishna smiles, this encourages this Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It's a very nice detail. The smile of Lord Krishna is either to acknowledge devotional service of a devotee or to encourage a devotee for devotional service. So Krishna smiled, his ecstatic smile at the washerman, and then he said, please give me this dress. It is very suitable and appropriate. It was the king's dress. The washerman most properly, you know, he looked at Krishna. And listen about this washerman a little bit more. You have to now study psychology. He had no attraction for me, says Lord Chaitanya, remembering his time in Mathura. He had performed very severe austerities and penances for many, many lifetimes just to see me. This piety gave him the good fortune to finally see me. Krishna was there smiling, giving the opportunity for very intimate anga seva, means serving his bodily limbs by putting on a dress. Yet, he could not experience the exhilaration, I hope it's the right word, I mean, exhilaration, I hope you understand, I'm for sure mispronouncing it terribly. He could not experience the exhilaration, the excitement, the joy, the ecstasy of seeing me due to lack of devotion. Then he said, Lord Chaitanya said, I do not show any mercy to non-devotees, even if they see me. Let me here turn to Madhavananda, who would be not. Was this washerman the same, this rascal who told this lie that Sita was with Ravan and could not be accepted by Ram or not? What? Yeah. And yet it's not. It's commonly said by many people. It's not yet read. And so let us not dive under. Anyways, isn't that surprising? Here's someone who does sadhan without bhakti. It's possible, in other words, to do the false thing. It's possible to be an imitation devotee, Hare Krishna. It's not impossible. Please, this lecture will have a fortunate ending. Don't become so. Does he mean me? Is this about me? No. It's a philosophical presentation. Don't become mental now. But maybe think a little bit about this. Lord Brahma had come to Vrindavan. He had heard that the Lord had appeared. He saw Krishna in the assembly of cowherd boys. And he saw how Krishna diverted the attention of one cowherd boy. Maybe Krishna said, look there. And then Krishna leaned over to the plate of his friend, took a sweet from there, or I do not remember what is Gopal Champu, what he took, but he ate from the plate of his friend. Brahma saw this from his swan. The authority of Rig Veda, Sama Veda, all this has emanated from Lord Brahma's mouth. And he said, what? This can't be God. God should know what is the basic point. What is suchi and what is muchi? What is dirty and what is pure? You know, it's To eat from another's plate, by the way, is not considered extremely suci, unless it's God's plate or his great, great exalted devotee's plate. So Brahma thought, this can't be God. So he tested Krishna by the well-known Leela, kidnapping the cowherd boyfriends and wanted to see what Krishna does then. And he was, of course, he was very surprised when he had finally understood that Krishna was God, because he had expanded himself into these multitudes of cowherd boys and cows without Brahma being able to tell the expanded from the original cowherd boys. It's a long leela. You can read it in Krishna book. But then Brahma, after he had finally seen that Krishna had expanded himself also into these millions of Vishnus who were in, it's a long leela, I can't tell it in detail. Then he bowed down and offered obeisances to Lord Krishna. And then, if you read the prayers of Lord Brahma very carefully, you will find out that Brahma asks Lord Krishna for nothing less than the means to get bhakti in his heart. So that mistake to see God and not see God will not be repeated again by him in the future. Brahma will ask Krishna for a place from where he can obtain that bhakti. My dear devotees, we must get this bhakti in our heart, otherwise it's a meaningless activity what we do. Where do we get it from? Please let us ponder about this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about bhakti in relationship to the holy name. He says, I have chanted lakhs of names, but not a drop of bhakti. Oh, he says, what a counting game. You know, little children, at least in Germany, they get counting games. It's a little thing like this, a little device. Those who are parents, it's very nice. Your children can learn counting very easily. It has these metal sticks running and beads on it, and then the child can go and count. Mommy, this is 4. No, this is 5. 10, mommy. Almost. It's 9. And this is called a counting game. One round after 7 minutes. 2 rounds after another 3 minutes, because that wasn't very unconcentrated round. 3 rounds after 10 minutes, because he fell asleep. Wow, I chanted 4 rounds. What a counting game. It's sympathetic when you, for a child to be in a counting game, not for a grown-up man or a grown-up woman. There must be bhakti in the heart to make it a real serious sadhana. Chanting without bhakti is a counting game. Devotional service without this love is a... devotional service in practice. It's not entirely valueless. It has value, but it is in practice. And let us not be too judgmental here. Krishna is satisfied to some degree. He said, oh, they're trying, they're trying. Ooh, how so pathetic, they're trying. There is a comment by Vishwanath Chakur, my Chakravarti Thakur, my devotee thinks he performs bhakti. Oh, how so pathetic. Yeah. And some mercy is coming. But the Lord wants for the bhakti. This we have heard in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the wonderful thing is, Lord Chaitanya says, I will come a little bit later to this. Let us go back now to Brahma, if this is not jumping too much for you. Brahma says to Lord Krishna, he's aware, he saw Lord Krishna, he had no bhakti, and therefore he made an offense against Krishna. That is what is done when you have no bhakti. Aparadas will come, because you won't be able to behave properly. So Lord Brahma says to Lord Krishna, my dear Lord, I'm now going. This Vrindavan is a too high place for me. I'm now going. Maybe I make a foolish mistake again. But before I'm going, just one request. Please give me the opportunity to be born in some future birth amongst your devotees. I don't mind if this birth is the birth of an insect. Insect is a very insignificant birth. You know, when the mosquito comes, you immediately go, very impolite, almost aggressive, you go like this. And if you are totally unnerved by it, you might even apply you might become a killer for 1 second. Good. Yes, this happens in life, and this position is not entirely unfounded. You can consider the mosquito as an enemy who attacks with deadly weapons. You know, you can get malaria and die from his pinch or sting. So, Brahma says, the creator of the universe, I'm ready to come down to the position of an insignificant insect. He only insect is the translation. If I can be in the house of your devotee, because this is implied, because Brahma knows he can get bhakti there by hearing from truthful devotees, serving truthful devotees, or bona fide devotees. Bona fide is the word. Bhakti can come. There's this verse, some of you know. Satang prasanga mama, satang prasanga mama virya samvidu bhavanti hritkana rashayana kata. It says, by staying in the devotee association and hearing the rasayana kata. Rasayana kata, those of you who, it's interesting for those who are interested in Ayurveda, when you go through Panchakarma, that's a total overhaul of your body, they will first take everything out of your body. You know the story of liquid beauty. That is one of the part of the treatment for everyone. You really, they take all the elements which you have in your body, you have to surrender to gravity on one day. You can pitch your tent in the bathroom then. So then after you're totally weakened, you look like a ghost on that day, then they give you rashayanas, that is strengthening tonics, which again builds up your body with healthy substance, healthy thing. These rasayanas are given to you in different ways, which we will not explain here before the deities. And you will become very strong. So to stay in the association of devotees is, and hear, you know, that you need to hear and chant with them and do these devotional activities, which we do especially in a large proportion in the Holy Dham, is strengthening. It's called Rasayana Katha. It gives strength. It gives the strength of bhakti into your heart. So this is the place where you can obtain the strength which you need, the bhakti which you need for your life. And it is so wonderful, and I really wish to thank the devotees of the Krishna Balaram temple from my heart. It's a really sincere gratitude. By keeping up such this temple in such a nice and spiritual atmosphere and spiritual mood, it's very easy for us to feel that bhakti enters our heart. We see these wonderful deities and dressed. Have you noted the dresses today? With all these flowers. I mean, this is the spiritual world. And you come and there is ample spiritual programs, Bhagavad Gita classes even. Everything is going on. So that you can strengthen yourself with the increased potency. It's called Paraka Shakti, which is in the transcendental Dham, which makes your attraction even greater and bigger to Krishna. So when you go to the Dham, you will contact this Paraka Shakti of the Lord, and it will aid your chanting, your Shravanam, Kirtanam, your deity worship, and all the ninefold processes of devotional service. You will be aided by the Paraka Shakti, the Shakti which draws your heart closer to Krishna and gives you ultimately an impetus to go back to Godhead, go forward on your march. Yes, Hare Krishna. You will now we will just quickly come to the close of the lecture. I will now challenge all what I have said. I will raise a doubt. He is no longer Satchinandan Swami speaking. It's another person. My dear Hare Krishna lecturer, please stop now. Listen a little bit to you are you're misleading your audience. Modern psychology has shown that by doing a certain activity, the mood or the spirit can enter your heart. Consider laughter therapy. You laugh without any reason. It's not a real laughter. It's just a shaking of the muscles. If you do this, after some time, you will start to laugh. If the mood comes. Or in treatment, you can give a patient a set of activity which he does. I mean, if you want, I could make an experiment with you, but I don't know if the deities would like it. So I will describe the experiment. I won't do this in the Vrindavan Dham, but I often do it with a non-devotional audience whom I want to convince of certain points. I say, every one of you sit straight. Don't do this, please. Tell them to sit straight. So I don't have to change the body of the presentation. Tell them to sit straight. Put their heads in an arrogant way in the head, in the sky, just that. And tell me after time how they feel. Then I tell them, stop of the first experiment is finished. Now please be like this. And they do like this, they go like this, and they feel differently. One feels arrogant, you know, first experiment. But if you take a humble position like this, you will feel some humility is coming. In fact, this point was also raised by Prabhupada. Prabhupada, how do we become humble? The devotees asked him. Prabhupada said, act as if you are humble. It works. Please, those of you who are not humble like me, I personally know there's someone who goes totally on your nerves. Wait until my materialistic intelligence has formulated a response to your foolishness and you will sink into the ground. And then some other intelligence comes. I should be humble. It's Krishna teaching me. Oh yes, Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada, you're possibly right. Yes. And after some time you feel humble for doing this. In fact, this is the whole, you could say, psychological foundation. There are spiritual foundations also of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, but that is that you gain Sukritis by doing this, spiritual, you attract some spiritual energy. So why do you say that bhakti must be in the heart in order to see, in order to feel, in order to do the real things? This was the challenge. We have. Is the challenge clear? Almost, you say. Not. Anyways, you can list others who have understood, you can ask them. A little bhakti must be there in any case. Bhakti is translated by Baladev Vidya Bhushana as thirst. We could go into another verse, the foundational verse of... let me explain this differently. We can go into another verse which says how you can obtain Krishna consciousness. And you know, there is this sloka that by eagerness, eagerness is the price which you have to pay in order to become Krishna conscious. Eagerness amounts to thirst. When you have a wonderful plate before you, but you have no eagerness or no hunger or no appetite, will you eat or will you not eat? No, I will not eat. Someone brings a plate before my eyes, and I will say, it looks interesting. Thank you. Only if you have some eagerness, only if you have some thirst, only if you have some hunger, Hari Bol, then you will partake the meal of Krishna consciousness. Only if you have some bhakti in your heart will you take to it. And only then can whatever you can do at that stage affect and transform you. Bhakti is important. Therefore, everything starts with sadhu sangha. First you have to have a little shraddha. Then you get sadhu sangha, because in that sadhu sangha you can obtain bhakti. Let us never make sadhu sangha a meeting place of politics. Let us never make sadhu sangha an opportunity to exercise our inclinations and capabilities for quarrel. We have tremendous capabilities in Kali Yuga for this one activity. Sex and quarrel is very natural for the Kali Yuga person. Yes. Let us somehow make this sangha, the sadhu sangha, into a a forum, let us protect the Sadhu Sangha as a forum so that the real delivery can be done. Rasayana Kata, that is talk, which moves something, which makes a mellow taste in the heart, which is bhakti. It is very, very, very important. Because without this bhakti, our process, our devotional service will be slow, and because we don't feel bhakti, no devotion, we will have no enthusiasm in our heart and no eagerness, and then we will not take any longer to the process of Krishna consciousness. Or we will take to the process of Krishna consciousness. That's the danger without bhakti. Without bhakti, offenses are, or the possibility of offenses are very close. When you have bhakti in the heart, you don't think of offenses. You think, oh Krishna, wonderful. Oh Krishna, oh Krishna. You don't think of these mental Western and Eastern ill feelings and so on. So this lecture will end now, but I would request you to sincerely think about this as you leave the lecture, that how can you have more bhakti in the heart. Krishna consciousness is ultimately not an objective science. It's a highly subjective science. It is about you, us, about me. It's about me, not Sachinandan Swami, the universal me. It's about that. And in the Dharma, we can sit back for a moment. We can reflect this question. I have practiced Krishna consciousness, but I want to have more bhakti in my heart. How can I do this? A key lies in the association of devotees and the word Rasayana Kata, hearing this strengthening talk about Krishna, about the process of devotional service, etc. This bhakti is very important. I would like to end. I've announced the end, but this is included in the announcement. With a very, very nice lila, Krishna lila. We are in Vrindavan. We should hear some Krishna lila. Once the cowherd boys, cowherd men. This is about the cowherd men now doubting Nanda Maharaj and even Krishna. They came, this is the test of Krishna, this lila is called. They came to Nanda Maharaj, said, Nanda, you claim that Krishna is your son. We have thought in our community about it and found out it can't be true. First argument, Krishna held a mountain for an entire week on his hand. You cannot even lift a rock for an hour or so, for a brief moment in time. But the son should inherit the quality of the parents. Krishna has qualities which he has not possibly inherited from you. Another point is, Krishna is so black. You are not black. Isn't it? If there is a white parent and a white mother and father, and they present to you a black little girl and say, this is my daughter, you would say, how? How? Some genealogical manipulation or what? How? It's not possible. Then they become very angry. Nanda Maharaj, if you don't tell us the truth about Krishna and about you, we will kick you out of our community. We cannot stand to be around with this lie any longer. Nanda Maharaj says, listen, I can fortunately calm your doubts. In the name-giving ceremony of Krishna, Gaga Rishi said, this boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared in this family on his own volition. He is the letter K in Krishna stands for Kamalayana. This is the Lord of the Kamalanayana, lotus-eyed Lord. R stands for Rama. S stands for Sadgunapati, the Lord of six wonderful opulences. Krishna. N stands for Nrisimhadev. And R for Akshara, the unmanifest. So Krishna is all of that. He's God. Nanda Maharaj is very satisfied with this. But the cowherd men become even more angry. This you say. But the name-giving ceremony of this boy, of Krishna, was performed in secret. You have not invited us. We have not heard this from Gaga Rishi. They have faith in the words of a Brahmana, in other words, in Gaga Rishi, but not in Nanda Maharaj. Are you well satisfied with making a claim which no one has heard? With saying something? How satisfied are you with this statement? And very angrily, the cowherd men walk off in a huff to Vrishabhanu Maharaj and complain, who is a king also. We want to ostracize this Nanda. Throw him out. You exercise your powers. Vrishabhanu said, why do you want to do this? He's the best. Father of Krishna. Father of Krishna. You have not thought very detectively and very cleverly. If you are... So the coward men see the unwillingness of Vrishabhanu to go to Nanda Maharaj, who is his best friend. And then the cowherd men turn against Vrishabhanu Maharaj. You have a daughter, and it is not known that you make arrangements for her marriage. What kind of person are you? Now the aggression of the cowherd men also turns towards Vrishabhanu Maharaj. Listen, this daughter is no one else than the Almighty. She is Lakshmi, this is Srimati Radharani. And Gaga Rishi came to me and said she will be married to Krishna. Don't worry about her marriage. It's Gaga Sanghita. The coward men are not satisfied. They say, then let us test Nanda today. You sent him the betrothal gift. Do you know what is a betrothal? I also had to look up this word. Betrothal is a word, right? But betrothal, it's when boy and girl are promised to each other. It's not yet the marriage, but something which goes before. Engagement. Thank you. You send an engagement gift of pearls and diamonds, and then we see how if Krishna is God and Krishna is in his house and is his son, then Nanda should be able to respond to this opulent gift. So at this moment, Vrishabhanu has to subdue to this. And he arranges 1 lakh of valuable pearl necklaces. And the valuable pearl necklaces are loaded into ox carts and brought to Nanda. As Nanda sees the ox carts, fear arises in his heart. And when the cowherd men say, here is the betrothal gift of Vrishabhanu Maharaj for the engagement of his daughter Radha with Krishna. Nanda thinks, ha, now I'm expected to return an even bigger gift than this lakhs of pearls. I don't have this in my treasury. So he goes to Yashoda and says, this problematic situation accumulates. What should we do? How should we respond? We are not able. This moment Krishna goes to where all the pearls are, takes 100 pearl necklaces and goes to the earth and soils and puts the pearls into the soil of Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj comes from this problematic crisis discussion to the hall and where the necklaces were kept and finds out, oh no, necklaces are missing. Second thought is, this must be Krishna. He's known for stealing butter and such things. Now he's stolen the... Then Nanda Maharaj goes to Krishna. Krishna, have you taken some pearls? Yes, Father. And I have sown them into the ground of Braj so that they will become more pearls. And you can respond to the gift. And my dear boy, pearls don't grow from the ground. Where have you put these pearls? I have to reclaim them. Krishna goes to the fields, and as Nanda Maharaj enters the fields, he sees the most wonderful trees with the most wonderful pearls. You have done this? Wonderful! And he calls all the cowherd men. Cowherd men, see, Krishna has grown many pearls from these pearls. You must know each pearl, there was a huge tree with big pearls like this of innumerable values. Come and see with your own eyes. Come and see Krishna. And in this way, the cowherd men see Tike. And the test is passed. So I wanted to tell you how Krishna has his ways. Sometimes a devotees are apparently put into illusion. This was on the Leela level, a high level. But even his devotees in the world are sometimes put to test. We are brought into situations where our faith is not so strong. We are brought on our knees. We are brought to crawl on our bellies in humility. And at that time, we may turn to the Lord. I acknowledge, I have no other shelter than you, my Lord. I have no other shelter than you. And as we say it, we begin to feel a relief in our heart. And as the relief increases, we feel oh Krishna. And then when we feel, oh Krishna, we feel deeper, increased faith. You have promised to protect your devotee. I have hope. And as our hope rises, bhakti rises. My dear devotees, when you have no bhakti in the heart, like me, you will experience, if you want to continue the path, that Krishna will bring you sometimes on your knees. Don't think anything is wrong at that time. Everything is super right at that time. You have received the mercy of the Lord. So that now You have no one else to depend. Your material shelters have burned in the fire of public assault, of public critiques. Now you can turn to the Lord. Now you will turn to the Lord. The moment you do this with heartfelt, please accept me, that moment the Lord will come. Anyone who has chanted for a longer period of time will know that he will also have to walk through the desert. No taste. Oh, it can't be. There's a counting mistake here. I have chanted much more rounds than this. And so on. And there will be this reaction. This is Krishna who disappears for some time to make you cry for him, to increase some taste, because thirst, because bhakti, that means thirst. You're thirsty. There's a blessing over bhakti, which Krishna has pronounced. You will never feel you have enough of bhakti. No satiation. It's so wonderful. You always want more and more and more and more and more. It will inflame you. So Hare Krishna, I'm sorry I'm a little over enthusiastic and a little talkative. Please forgive me. One is a little talkative sometimes in life. Please forgive all the mistakes in this presentation. Please think about the main point of the presentation and apply it in your life. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi go nitai ki, go premanandi, hari hari bo.